Well, can we take our Bibles again, turning them back to Exodus chapter 33? Exodus chapter 33. Verse 18 contains the words of our text for this morning. And we read there, "And he said," that is Moses, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Show me thy glory. And with God's word again open before us, let us briefly unite for prayer as we seek the face of the Lord. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee that thou art the one who dwelleth in light unapproachable and full of glory. It is our prayer, as with the words of this hymn we were just singing, "More about Jesus would I know. Teach me more, more about thee. May I see thee in thy word." And Father, we pray for all together bowed before thy courts this morning, that thou will give us a teachable spirit, understanding hearts, and grant that I will have the words of wisdom to declare thy precious truth to the hearer. And Father, we pray now that thou wilt fill us with God the Holy Spirit, as I take thy promised Holy Spirit to fill us to the uttermost. I take and thank God that thou wilt undertake for me, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Moses was permitted to witness some of the most amazing displays of divine omnipotence that mortal eyes have ever seen. If you take time to trace the course of his life, you will know that he witnessed some of the most amazing wonders of divine power. If you remember him there in that wilderness, as he was tending to the sheep of Jethro, his father-in-law, you will remember that his eyes were diverted as he saw a bush in the distance burning. And he was drawn to it, he was lured to it. And as he approached, he saw that it was burning, but it wasn't consumed. And the Lord spoke to him as he approached. What an amazing sight to behold. He was called of God, and he was sent to Egypt. And when he went to Pharaoh's palace, and he prophesied against Pharaoh, Moses witnessed the 10 wonders of the plagues sent upon that land of Egypt. And his voice commanded the heavens to open and for these wonders to be performed at the command of God. Then you will remember as they left Egyptian bondage, and they were guided by the pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night, and they came to the shores of the Red Sea. They were hemmed in. The Egyptians were coming behind them. They were going to slay them. And that night, God rolled back the waters of the Red Sea, providing a dry passage. He ruled it back thither, and this way and that way. It was a broad passage to allow the children of Israel to pass through. How amazing that sight must have been as he wakened that morning to see a passage through the midst of the Red Sea. And as he journeyed through it, and came out the other end, and God told them and commanded that he should raise his hand, and the floods, waters come back and overpowered and covered the Egyptians and slew them and drowned them there in the midst of the Red Sea. And then as God led the children of Israel through the wilderness, they were fed by flesh and by water. Are we not, and do we not marvel at these amazing records? for a mortal man to witness. And when we think of these things, and we compare those to the experiences we have in our churches today, do we not feel as paupers in His sight? Moses experienced all these wonderful things. And yet, as we look back, and yes, even at the last Sunday of this year, 2023, as we stop and look back through the course of our life, what wonders could we record? What testaments of truth could we write or raise as a memorial as evidence for God's power within our lives? In a sense, truly Moses was a remarkable man, a very privileged man, a blessed man. But yet, despite the fact that he had seen all these wonders, Moses wanted more. He wasn't content. He wanted more. And so he said to the Lord in the verse of our text, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Surely you would say with me, Moses, you're greedy. You have seen enough. Think of all that God has shown you and done for you. Is that not enough? Yet Moses wanted more. We sang that hymn, "More About Jesus Would I Know." More of His love to others show. Tell me, child of God, as you've come to God's house today, is it just to come to another service? Take stock of your life. Look back upon the wonders and the things that God has done for you. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And doth it not surprise you what the Lord hath done? But friend, are you content? Are you content with your lot? You stand on the threshold of a new year. Fresh opportunities, fresh hopes. Who knows what 2024 will bring for us? I hope that like Moses, your prayer will be, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." This verse, I believe, contains the profoundest cravings of the soul. It's a prayer. It's the believer's cry for a sight of more of the glory of God. And I trust that that will be your prayer to take into the new year. "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Now firstly, what is meant by the glory of God? How can it be defined? Can it be demonstrated? Well, if we take the definition first, the meaning as employed in this place signifies majesty or splendor. And therefore one is brought to consider something extremely beautiful, something that is gorgeous to gaze upon, something that is astounding, or something that is breathtaking. What is it that would take your breath away? Is Is it to go to climb the Moor Mount? Or any mountain range, and to look around you and to see a broad vista of God's creation? In the summertime, we were on holiday in Devon, in Dartmoor, just passing through that area, that region. And in our roads, we came to this viewpoint with a rocky precipice. I went up and I climbed it with my phone, and I was able to take a 360 right round. What a view! Breathtaking. God's creation, utterly wonderful. And here we have Moses, that he is saying, "Show me thy glory." We could only get a sight of the glory of God. Surely that would take our breath away. You know, a fuller meaning or fuller input of the meaning can be extracted from the root of the word glory, which means to be heavy or to be weighty. And therefore, what Moses in essence wanted to behold was not merely a glimpse, but a deep, penetrating insight of God. Do you remember the psalmist said in Psalm 42 and verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord." The hart wanted to draw from the water brook. One long, lasting, satisfying draught of water to satisfy the thirst, to quench it. That's in essence what Moses is saying. Oh Lord, show me thy glory. You know, many of us are content with a lesser view of God's holiness, of His justice and of His truth. But Moses espouses greater and more earnest cravings than this. Moses has aspirations. He yearns for more. And from the definition explained, one realizes the density of his yearning. It wasn't superficial. Let me ask you, dear brother, dear sister, in the gathering this morning, how do our aspirations compare with his? How do they compare? Can it be demonstrated? I believe it is fair to say that Moses experienced much, and in his lifetime he had already experienced the sight of the glory of God on a number of occasions. If you turn back in your Bible to Exodus 24, Exodus 24, there you'll notice the verses 16 and following. "And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Following a period of 6 days' preparation, on the seventh day, no doubt the Sabbath day, Moses was called to ascend the mount and enter into a cloud, a thick cloud, wherein was manifested the glory of God. God's glory broke forth like devouring fire." And if you turn back to Exodus chapter 19, and the verses 18 and following, "And Mount Sinai also, all together, on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in the fire and the smoke thereof, and ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly, And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. The voice was speaking to Moses from the midst of the cloud. And when you compare those events to Exodus 33 in the verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." There we have the demonstration of God's presence being manifested to his servant. We have seen the definition and the demonstration. I believe these two thoughts can be pulled together if you turn with me to the book of the Psalms and to the 8th Psalm. The Psalm number 8. And thinking of the word glory. In the verse 1 of this Psalm we read, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens." The word glory there is not the same word that is found in our text. But if you read on, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." He's thinking of creation. And he says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" But notice verse 5. The word glory that is found here is the same that is found in our text. "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." I believe in that verse we have the plan of redemption mentioned. The gospel. And I believe that the word glory in this instance refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will prove that and show that to you as we move on from our first point of what is meant by the glory of God to the second point. God's response to the request made by Moses. God's response to the request made by Moses. This verse of our text, in Exodus 33 and the verse 18, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." The language of this text literally reads, "Show me, I pray thee, thy glory, or cause me to gaze upon it." And from the following verses, you see God's response, which was twofold. In the first instance, there is a restriction. Verse 20, "And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." The all-knowing, wise God denied him that which he would be unable to bear. You see, a complete discovery of the glory of God would quite overpower the faculties of any man in his present human state, even Moses himself. And those instances that we looked at in Exodus chapter 24 and 19, and even in chapter 33 in the verse 9, God spoke to Moses from out of the cloud of his glory. He didn't see his face. "For there shall no man see my face and live, saith the Lord." You remember Paul, when he was caught up into the third heaven, he saw wonderful things that were too wonderful for man to speak of. But God, in compassion to the infirmity of weakness, in Job 26 and the verse 9, "God holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it." You see, in this world, we could not abide a view of the future state.
God is too wonderful.
We live by faith, not by sight. Now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And therefore this request that Moses made was temporarily denied. Child of God, sometimes our petitions are denied. Maybe you've been praying for something for years and it has been denied. God has His reasons. Doesn't mean that you should stop praying or stop interceding or stop pleading or stop praying and lose your faith. God's response to the request made by Moses in the first instance, there was a restriction. But in the second instance, there was a revelation. Notice with me the verse 19 of Exodus 33. When he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God grants that which will abundantly satisfy the longing of the heart. And God causes Moses to see what God wishes him to see. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. The word goodness, it means the best or the well. And if you look and think of this phrase, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Come down to the verse 22. And it came to pass while my glory passeth by. What did Moses want? He wanted to see God's glory. And here the Lord is saying, my glory pass by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I believe that what God was showing Moses on that day, by showing him his goodness, was an attribute of God. What is God? The short catechism asks us that question. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That day, God was going to show Moses his essence, his presence, his goodness. And I believe that his goodness, I believe that personified, it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, sometimes when we see something that is awe-inspiring or wonderful, we use the expression, oh gosh, or oh goodness, my goodness. I don't think we should use that phraseology, because that is Christ himself. Why do I say that I believe that it is Christ that is here who has been viewed? I say it for this reason. Because in the verse 23, I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. He was only to see the back parts. This was a vision fuller than any other that mortal eyes had ever seen. It is true to say that the face of man is that is known. And men are known by their faces. A sight of God Moses couldn't have, but while hidden in the cleft of a rock, he would have sensed something of the majesty of God passing by. And then God would reveal his back parts. What does Jesus say in his word in the New Testament? I am the good shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd. They know his voice. But they see only his back parts. That's why I believe that what Moses was shown that day on the mount was Jesus Christ himself. His goodness. What do we need in the closing day of 2023 to make this a marvelous day, a wonderful day? We need to see Jesus. We need a fresh vision of Christ. Of him. And of the cross. And of all that he's done for us. And if today all that I can see is a vision of his back parts, then I will know his voice. And I will follow on. I will follow on. Can I say thirdly, why, like Moses, we should desire to see God's glory? I feel that there are a few reasons for this. If you come to the verse 22 of Exodus 33, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Chapter 34 unfolds to us the drama of that event. And we discover in the verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. God had said that Moses would be hid by the mighty hand of God in a cleft of the rock. And that rock upon which he stood in the preceding chapter in the verse 22 speaks of a sure place, of a safe place, where no harm can befall him. I believe that that rock speaks of Christ. I believe it was the rock Horeb, from whence the water broke forth. And on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You can imagine that scene as Moses arose early in the morning. His heart was weighty and pounding with wondrous expectation. He carries in his hands two tables of stone hewn from the rock to be restored at the first, written by the hand of God. You'll see him ascend up Mount Sinai as the Lord descends upon the mount in the cloud. And there he witnesses God unfolding the blueprint, the plan of salvation before him. A truly awesome sight. And then, as verse 8 of chapter 34 says, he bowed his head toward the earth and he worshipped. You know, today, if we only had a fresh vision of God in Calvary, how different our services would be. we would be worshiping and praising God. Our minds and our conversation would be taken up with God. And we would worship and we would praise the Lord for all that the Lord has done for us. You see, why, like Moses, we should desire to see God's glory is because it causes us to render praise. And because it is reviving, if you look at verse 10 of the chapter 34, and he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and in all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do." Imagine that. The Lord is saying this after all that he's done. All these wonders that were performed. The Lord is saying, "I will do much, much more." We often harp back to the 59 revival. We harp back to times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the early days of this denomination, of which I had no part in the early days. But those of you here who are old enough and remember how the God blessed the church and how that it mushroomed and it grew. And if I were to say to you today, that is nothing in comparison to what God can do if we can only get a sight of His glory. God can revive our hearts, but in the final analysis, because it is a foretaste of glory divine, for but a moment, think of the reward such petition would yield. Show me thy glory. And look at verse 29 of Exodus 34. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. His face shone. Here was a man who had done business with God. Here is a man, because of what God had shown him, his face was shining like the sun, radiant. Here was a gem of a Christian. And while Moses saw not the face of God in life, yet if I can transport you to Matthew chapter 17 and the verse 2, to the account of the transfiguration. Peter, James and John went up with Christ to the Mount of Transfiguration. And who did they see? They saw Elias, Elijah and Moses. And Christ was transfigured before them. While in life, Moses had prayed, "Show me thy glory." In death, he saw it. He saw the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. I put it to you, dear child of God, this morning, as you embark shortly upon a new year, what should your prayer be? "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." But maybe you're in the gathering this morning and you're not saved. You will never look upon Christ and know Him as Savior and know heaven and dwell in those celestial city and those mansions, unless you come to know Christ upon earth. Your prayer today should be, "Show me Christ. Let me see the cross." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His name.